ECDC On Air,
the podcast of the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control.
Keeping up to date with European epidemiology.
Hello, my name is Nicholas and I'm your host for today's episode of ECDC On Air, which is the podcast for the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control. It's April 2023 and more than 3 years have passed since the first cases of COVID-19 were recorded. In this episode, we will go through the evolution of the COVID-19 pandemic, examine what the situation is right now, and we will also take a look at what the future might bring. With me here in the studio to shed some light on all this is Bruno Ciancio, who is ECDC's head of surveillance. Hello, Bruno. Glad to have you here.
Hello, Niklas. Thank you for inviting me.
How would you describe the different phases of the COVID-19 pandemic from the beginning up until now?
COVID-19 was one of the worst pandemic that ever occurred. And it was characterized by very intense transmission in large parts of the population, which lasted for 3 years now. The first waves of the pandemic were affecting large parts of the population and having also a significant impact across basically all age groups. And this was mostly driven by the fact that it was a completely new virus against which there was no population immunity. And the trends of the various surges of infections was mostly driven by behavioral factors, contacts between people. And it was only when measures were not undertaken to reduce the contacts between people that the waves started to decline. The situation changed dramatically later on when a lot of people were vaccinated and also experienced the infection. From that phase on, with the start of the Delta variants and later on also the Omicron variant, a lot of the impact was observed among people that were not vaccinated. In the last year, with the emergence of Omicron, we have seen very large outbreaks affecting large part of the population, but a relatively lower impacts in terms of hospitalization and mortality. We know that this is due to the fact that vaccination together with previous infection has provided the population with very high level of protection, particularly against severe illness.
So if we look at the introduction of vaccines, I mean, it's obviously in the history of this pandemic, that's been a completely groundbreaking, pivotal game changer. Can you just tell us a bit more what the impact of the vaccines has had?
Absolutely. I mean, vaccines have played an extraordinary role in the control of this pandemic. First of all, they've been introduced in record time, also thanks to the fact that a lot of people were healed at the same time. And so clinical trials can be conducted in record time and involving large samples of the population. It is estimated that only in 2021, between 15 million and 20 million people in the world, the deaths of these people have been averted thanks to the vaccinations. And you have to multiply this number by 5 or 10 to understand how many hospitalizations were also averted. However, the impact was not as big as it could have been if access to vaccines was more equally distributed across the planet. We have various parts of the world where vaccines were not available, and this definitely constitute a reason of concern also today, both for the possible further impact that COVID can have on these populations, but also because of the theoretical risk that the circulation of the virus in these populations may lead to the selection of new variants.
So then would it be wrong to say that we are returning to a kind of normalcy? Because I think a lot of people probably see it as that.
In the past year, and since the emergence of Omicron, we have seen surges of infections every 2-3 months, but all characterized by decreasing intensity and impact. So this is definitely a very good news. And we think that the situation may remain stable for quite some time. We also know that as we speak, there are still many infections taking place. with between 500 and 1,000 deaths per week recorded in the European Union due to COVID-19. These people are mostly older people, people that were not updated, for example, with a booster vaccine. We know that these people will continue to remain vulnerable, and it makes sense that a number of measures are no longer in place. Attention is put towards protecting these people, and this can be done by ensuring that they are vaccinated regularly and that they are protected also from infections. It also makes sense to continue to tame the healthcare sector free from viruses and implement all the measures that are needed to prevent nosocomial transmission of COVID-19, but also of other viruses and pathogens.
If you would summarize a little bit the challenges that the current phase of the pandemic poses to public health now, I mean, we are in a different situation, obviously, than compared to 3 years ago, but then there are still these challenges that you just pointed out. But if you could you summarize a little bit just what is the risk to the general population right now?
I think at the moment the main challenge is to ensure that there is an acceptable vaccination strategy that allows those who need to be vaccinated to have access easily to the vaccine, perhaps through regular schedules that allow vaccination against a number of respiratory viruses at the same time, particularly for older people. And since we don't know for sure how the virus will evolve, we need to be prepared to deal with a possible emergence of, for example, a strain against the population is no longer protected. We don't know when this will happen, but at some point it will happen. And there are several ways that we can try to delay the emergence of the new virus, but also contain its impact if it happens. And I think it's very important that we continue to work very closely with other sectors, for example, the veterinary sector, and ensure timely surveillance of viruses in the animal world, and at the same time that we strengthen our surveillance systems in order to enable early detection of any new virus or variants of SARS-CoV-2.
You are the head of surveillance, so you are really the expert in that field. What can we do particularly in terms of strengthening surveillance?
Surveillance in a pandemic needs to be flexible and adapt to the pandemic phases. At the moment, what we learned from COVID was that our surveillance systems could not cope with the very ambitious data requirements that we had throughout the pandemic and also adapt to this. Is it essential that we invest in integrated surveillance systems for all respiratory viruses? And when I say integrated, I mean integration of all levels of the healthcare provision, from primary care to tertiary care to also mortality data, in order to be able to monitor effectively severity over time. We need our surveillance systems to be able to monitor the impact of interventions, for example, also the effectiveness of vaccination. And we need our surveillance system to be able to provide all the information that is needed to guide the introduction of public health measures. One key element of the resilience of surveillance systems during crisis will be their level of automation. So we need to integrate surveillance systems within the healthcare provision systems in order not to burden the healthcare workers and to ensure that there is a constant data flow from the medical records of the patients into the surveillance systems, into the development of research and into feeding data to decision maker.
The restrictive measures that we've seen, I mean, that's varied so much. We saw right in the beginning there was sometimes extreme measures with lockdowns and everything. And that's changed a lot over the course of the pandemic. And now there's hardly any restrictions at all. Is there any need for any restrictive measures right at this point?
When a new pandemic starts, it is essential that all efforts are put towards containing it. And this justifies also the introduction of very strong measures. And you also want to mitigate the impact of the new virus until there are effective prevention and control strategies, such as vaccines. And therefore, it is not unusual that measures evolve over time. Now that we know a lot about the virus, we know a lot about how effective are the vaccines, it is not required that certain measures are in place. At the same time, we need to understand where the vulnerabilities are and make sure that we focus our interventions towards protecting the most vulnerable people, meaning people that are older, that have other important underlying conditions, people that are undertaking immunosuppressive treatment or other type of treatments that affect their ability to respond to the disease.
Moving on then to look at a little bit more in the crystal ball, how do you see the pandemic evolving in the coming future? Is it possible to predict with some certainty how it will evolve? Is it going to remain at the same level as it is now, or is there a risk that there is a new, very deadly wave of infections sweeping through the world again?
I think, as I said, in the past year, we have seen waves of disease occurring every 2-3 months, and these waves have been also of less intensity and impact. I think we can expect this to continue for some time, given the fact that we have quite effective vaccination programs within the European Union. At the same time, we know that the pandemic threat is increased, particularly now that there is a new virus, new pandemic, potentially pandemic virus like SARS-CoV-2, influenza, and other viruses. And therefore, this is the time where we need to strengthen our preparedness for the future. Should a new virus emerge, SARS-CoV-2, that is completely different from the currently circulating viruses or an influenza virus, I think we need to be better prepared than we were at the beginning of COVID. And definitely, I think we are. Firstly, because we have the technologies now to develop effective and safe vaccine quite rapidly. And secondly, because I think it is clear there have been a lot of investments from member states, from ECDC, from the European Commission into strengthening also the preparedness mechanisms and tools. So I think we cannot say that we are out of the pandemic, but we are in a position now that we can deal better should a new pandemic occur.
So yeah, it sounds as if we've learned a little bit of our lessons that we need to know. We don't have to worry too much then that we would have a situation in 5 years' time where we're back to lockdowns and restrictions like they were, or what do you say?
Well, pandemics and viruses in general are quite unpredictable, so we cannot say for certain that we are prepared to the extent that is needed. But I would say that we have a chance now to implement all those measures that would put us in a better situation to deal with new challenges. Something that we need to strengthen in Europe and but also globally is the ability to rapidly assess new viruses when they emerge. This is something that needs to be done through studies that rapidly look at the characteristics of the virus in terms of transmissibility, route of transmission, severity, its main clinical characteristics. And I think this is one part that we should do better in the future. ECDC is investing in developing a team of experts that can also be deployed in the field and make these types of investigations if a new virus is detected.
So that's an interesting thing concretely then, how ECDC can contribute to further lowering the impact of COVID-19. Is there anything more you want to mention that ECDC is doing and will be doing, also the member states and its partners and the population? What can everybody do basically to manage this COVID-19 situation that we have and will have in the future as well?
Well, I think for ECDC and the member states, one of the main priorities should be to strengthen their level of preparedness. We have all the legal background now to ensure that at European level, resources and guidelines are available for member states to strengthen their pandemic preparedness plans, to ensure that there is health system capacity to deal with the pandemic, to strengthen their surveillance systems, Another important development is in the area of surveillance. We have developed guidance for developing stronger integrated surveillance systems for infectious diseases, and we are now embarking in a long-term project to transition to support member states and transition towards surveillance based on electronic health records. And the Commission is also investing hundreds of millions now to facilitate this process and to support member states in strengthening their surveillance systems. So I think the opportunity that we have now will not come back again. So we really need to use this opportunity and effectively improve the way we respond to pandemic threats.
Thank you, Bruno. That was very interesting and informative. That's all the questions I have for you now. So I hope to have you back on ECDC on air again soon.
Thank you, Niklas. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of ECDC on Air. For more information about ECDC and its work, please visit us on the web at ecdc.europa.eu or follow us on social media.